Welcome to
Midnight Circle
from your friends at House of Whimsical Terror.
A chat about curious topics.
And this week's topic is weird museums and collections.
Weird museums and collections. Well, that is a topic that is rarely explored.
But it should be, because museums are fabulously spooky.
They are. They are.
I don't know why, but
I don't know. I think it's just because, like, you're wandering into the unknown, discovering things, maybe.
I agree. And, you know, these are all ancient, not ancient, but, you know.
Some of them are.
Objects that have really intense energy around them, maybe, or
long histories and memories.
And maybe spirits attached to them.
Maybe so. And so some museums they're creepy. They're interesting, though. They're so very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So around the world, there's actually a remarkable number of odd things that are held and collected in places that people pay to see. So there's just a remarkable number of museums.
Yes.
There's so many. And museums have been around a very long time. And in fact, one of the oldest museums is Enagul Dinana's Museum, which was in Iraq. And now it's a ruin, so it's actually a museum of a museum, basically.
It's tragic.
It is. It dates back to 530 BC, and it contained artifacts from earlier Mesopotamian civilizations.
Whoa, you said Mesopotamian.
I did, correctly this time, not like last time. When we rehearsed this.
Yes, we rehearsed it, and Mary could not say the word Mesopotamian.
I could not. We should have just
it was adorable, though. It was like it would have been a blooper.
It would have.
But it's gone now.
It is.
And you got it right.
I did.
Which sucks.
Okay.
So all right. So there are so many museums that we pared it down to just a few. So we aren't here talking about it for hours, which Mary and I could be and will be.
Probably,
yes.
Because there are so many. You can only do one or two at a time.
True. Okay, so we're going to start with the National Museum of Funeral History in Houston, Texas. Texas is haunting us. We said that one bad thing about Texas.
And now it's everywhere.
Now, yeah, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we have so many people we love from Texas. So.
Yeah, and it's so big. And it has so many interesting things.
I don't know. Interesting in every possible way.
Yes.
Okay.
Truly.
So here, this museum is about 30,000 square feet.
Which is enormous.
It's huge and holds funerary memorabilia. Mm-hmm. It looks fascinating. And next time we're in Tucson, we're going
Houston.
For a visit.
Next time we're in Houston.
What did I say?
Tucson. Because we're in Tucson.
We are in Tucson.
But when we're in Houston.
It has nothing to do with Houston.
No, but we are definitely going for a visit.
We are
going
for a visit.
And it is fascinating. This place is fascinating, people.
It sure is. So, some of the items they have on display are horse-drawn coach hearses and a display that highlights Victorian mourning practices. And we love Victoriana because it's so creepy. Those people were
creepy.
Yeah.
And
Victorian.
Just so interesting.
And interesting.
Yeah.
Creepy in a great way.
And, you know, so much of what they do actually had purpose behind it.
Yeah.
You know, even though it seems like when topically, if you're just looking or thinking about it, it's like, why would you ever do that? And then you start to read about the history of it and you're like, oh, it had some purpose behind it.
Exactly. So, for example, they didn't have the technology we have today to determine true death.
Mm-hmm.
So they would lay out the body in the parlor and basically watch it for 3 days to make sure it didn't stir.
Mm.
So a wake really was to see if the person woke up.
Yeah.
In the early 20th century, funeral parlors were established, and then homes now had living rooms, as the dead were not displayed there anymore.
Yeah, isn't
that's fascinating. That's where the word living room came from.
And isn't it? Yeah, it's interesting the way the language shifted.
Yeah.
So funeral parlor and living room.
Right.
I mean, the influence that these people had.
Yes.
On. Ay. It's amazing.
It's fascinating.
It is.
So,
Okay.
So a black cat just came out of nowhere and is really close to the window, and it distracted us because we had to, you know, look at it, and it frightened us. So sorry about that.
And I suddenly lost all my language. Yes.
And we had a little glitch here. And, but now we're back on track about the museum in Houston, the Funerary Museum. So one of the cool things about the museum is they have an amazing website.
Yes.
And we've been wandering around the website and looking at the different exhibits, which you can go in and do, which is super cool.
Yeah, and it was so much information. And the photos were incredible.
They were.
So, like, if you can't get to Texas.
Right, you can just look at the website.
At the website.
One of the exhibits that we enjoyed was the history of embalming from Egyptians to today. The exhibit also has a life-size recreation of the Civil War battlefields.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Embalming practices of Dr. Thomas Holmes. So.
Well, he was the American father of embalming.
He was. And.
Who knew that?
No. And he did that apparently during the Civil War. Who knew?
On the battlefield.
On the battlefield.
Remarkable.
It's like just one stop shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, that was horrible. I can't believe I just said that. I'm sorry.
I can't either. We're not going to edit it.
No, that
just
was
like
morbid.
We're not going to edit the cat moment.
Oh, yeah.
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 We may want to consider editing in the future, but no, we don't.
Not today. The exhibits in this museum are very elaborate. As a bonus mention, the display of fantasy coffins from Ghana are interesting because there is a belief that we just transition after death to the spiritual realm and are honored by being buried in coffins reflective of a character trait or occupation, etc. So they have a coffin carved into an airliner for a pilot or someone who has traveled a lot, a lobster for a fisherman, and several other such carved and painted containers. The belief is that if honored in this way in the afterlife, the loved one will bestow blessings on those still living.
Yeah.
There are so many odd museums that it is worth looking into.
It is. And just think about that, being buried in a big chicken. If you're a chicken farmer or, you know, whatever, like right. I'd be buried in a scuba suit.
I want to be buried eating chocolate.
You'd be buried in a big SLM's box or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Godiva.
So other museums that we're fascinated with include the UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico, the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine, filled with cryptid evidence.
That's in like, quotes.
Evidence in quotes, like Yeti hair and such. And for our international entry, we are going to the Museum of Witchcraft and Magic in Boscastle,
England.
England, that houses historical information on rituals and beliefs, as well as items associated with witchcraft and magic.
Yeah.
That would be a fascinating place to go.
I think we need to go there. So think about this International Cryptozoology Museum. So I'm looking at these museums and I'm thinking, a cryptozoology museum. So it's a museum about things that most people haven't seen.
Right.
And wonder if it exists.
And did they do DNA, you know, on research on that hair
I don't know.
Yet.
So that's why it's in quotes, because I wasn't able to verify one way or the other if it's legit Yeti hair. But, you know, it's available at the museum.
Yes.
And the museum has some really interesting cryptid displays. So I thought I would include it. All right. So next we have collections. So we're going to switch topics a little. Even though we could spend, we could do like a year of podcasting just on museums.
Just on museums,
yeah.
Yep.
So many people collect things, right? But for some reason, it's a passion for some people that becomes... It's like a obsessive focus, right? So they'll travel and search for specific types of items and add them to their cache. So some personal collections are astonishingly large. And we will review some odd collections, which we just picked a couple. First, we have celebrity hair.
That is so gross.
It is, right? I thought it was so gross. It's kind of creepy and spooky. Collecting the hair of celebrities is the hobby of John Reznikoff, and he has a large collection. He is the world record holder, as a matter of fact, because there's apparently a record in that category. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Who knew? Yeah. He has some Elvis hair and some Abe Lincoln hair, and he has got some Marilyn Monroe hair, and he has many others. Obviously, he's a world record holder. After three, I was like, who has more?
And how do you verify that that is?
I don't know. I don't know that, and I'm actually not sure what area of the body the hair is from.
Ew.
And if and if there's a requirement for harvesting practices, I just wonder these things.
Well, in Victoriana, there are all those like hair jewelry of your beloved dead people.
Yeah, they have hair art.
Hair art, which looks really beautiful until you remember that it's like dead person hair.
It's dead person hair.
It's probably still beautiful, but I don't know.
But it does this.
It's not hair.
Because it's a peculiar aura.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'd hang it in my house today. Like, look at this beautiful piece of Victorian hair art.
Yeah.
From dead people that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't go with my decor. It's just not gonna.
But maybe that's where he got some of this hair is from. Those, I don't, who knows?
We don't know.
You know more about that than I do.
I don't actually know anything about it except what I wrote here. So another collection that we found intriguing was dinosaur poop. Mm. Yeah. Dinosaur poop is another world record category. I was intrigued by that.
Yep.
And the man who won that is George Fadson. And he has the world's largest collection of fossilized poop called coprolites.
Mm-hmm.
And he occasionally loans his collection out to museums, and he has a website named Poozeum. And if you have an interest in that topic, that's where you go.
Yes, and we saw some at the Gem Fair.
We did at the Gem Show, the International Gem and Mineral Show. Here
yeah, we actually touched the fossilized poo.
I know.
Poo.
And that's why I tossed it in here, because I thought we have some history with this.
We have some personal experience with them.
And yeah.
It looks like a, like rock.
It does look like.
I wouldn't have picked it up otherwise, but.
Indiscriminate, really.
Yeah.
But you know, he loaned this collection to a museum that may have been in, I don't know, I think it was in Key West. But, right? Like, of course. And, they had it for like a year. It was so popular. Like, he was just loaning it for like a month, and it was there like a year.
Oh, wow. People are probably fascinated.
People are really fascinated by fossilized dinosaur poop. Who knew? So that's as far as I went, because like, how do I top that?
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't.
These are the highlights for these topics.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't realize the topic was so very broad when we first considered it.
Mm-mm.
It is incredibly large, and an entire podcast session could be made on it. But for now, that's all we have until maybe we revisit it and do some more specific museums, maybe do some visits and some reels and take you there with us.
Right. And I think we may end up doing that because some of these museums are not so far away.
Ew.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. All right. Bye, you guys. Thanks for joining us.